Block 46, Roy and Castells, Book 1. Written by Johanna Gustafsson and read by Patricia Rodriguez and Mark Meadows.
There is nothing positive to say about the depths through which I wandered for 7 years, surrounded by the blind and the damned, who raged like souls possessed against all that remained of human dignity. Eugen Kogon. Thursday, the 7th of November, 2013. The light from the 3 electric torches stripes across the pit. A perfect rectangle. 1.30 meters in length, 50 centimeters in width. Made to measure. He picks up the spade, gathers earth, and spreads it out in the hole. A single shovelful and the legs are already covered. All that sticks out are the toes. Toes as smooth as pebbles, as cold as ice, that make him want to touch them with the tips of his fingers. Smooth and cold. He throws another pile of damp earth over the stomach. Some lands just below the thoracic cage, around the navel. The rest slides down the sides. A few more spadefuls, and it will all be done. It had all been child's play. All of a sudden, he lets go of the spade and brings his muddy gloves up to his ears. "Just shut up, will you?" He spits the words out, his jaw frozen with anger. "No, no, no, no! Stop shouting! Stop!" He kneels down beside the pit and places his hands against the colorless lips. "Shh, shh," I said. His nose brushes across the ice-like cheek. "Okay, okay, I'll do it. I'll sing your little song. I'll sing you Imsa Vimsa, but you must remain quiet. Is that understood?" He stands up and shakes dirt from his trousers. "Itsy bitsy spider climbs up the water spout." He takes hold of the spade and throws another lot of earth across the torso. It sinks into the wide-open gash running down from the chin to the sternal notch. "Down came the rain and washed the spider out." A spadeful over the face. The earth spills across the forehead, obscuring the hair, dripping into the eye sockets. "Up came the sun, dried away all the rain." The dirt rains across the marble whiteness of the body to the rhythm of the nursery rhyme. He packs the final layer of earth tight and smooths it out, then arranges a bunch of brown winter leaves across the top with exaggerated, arrogant artistry. He walks away backwards, his eyes still fixed on the grave, then retraces his steps and kicks a few leaves around with his foot. He cleans down the spade with his gloved hand, replaces the electric torches in their bag, takes his gloves off, shakes them free of dirt, then one at a time places his tools inside the bag. Just as he pulls the bag over his shoulder, he hears the chatter of the parakeets. He'd heard somewhere that the exotic birds had escaped from the Shepperton Film Studios in Surrey during the making of Bogart's Oscar-winning 1951 film, The African Queen. But the truth was, no such bird was used on the set. And the film had actually been shot in the studios at Isleworth. So where had the damn birds come from, then? He stops for a moment and searches the depths of night for their apple-green plumage. All he can hear is a nearby rustle.